This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The Chase Down Podcast presents A City of Champions, a seven-part series chronicling the Cavs' 2016 NBA Championship. With help from fans who cheered against us, reporters who covered it, and the players who watched it, we'll take you game by game through the most improbable 3-1 comeback in championship history. Be sure to subscribe to the Chase Down Podcast to relive the greatest series we've seen in our lifetimes.
One dribble, steps back, puts up a three, won't go, rebound tip taken by Spates, final seconds, it's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again! The Cavaliers are NBA champions!
The series begins Thursday, April 9th.
All right, this podcast is brought to you by Bet Online, your online wagering solution. We're going to be doing our Rockets Rewind series for the December 31st game from 2016, Rockets-Knicks. Hope you guys enjoy.
Blue Wire. Russell Westbrook is off to Houston.
It's going to be scary. Not for us.
No! James Harden just caught a body here in Los Angeles.
And Westbrook is on the freeway.
What's up, guys? Welcome to this podcast. My name is Salman Ali, at Salman Ali NBA on Twitter. You're joined by Forrest Walker. How you holding up, man?
I'm all right. Got a lot of groceries, and that's kind of the main thing I need right now in my life, I guess.
You know, it's funny. I stocked up today. I'm good for the next 2 weeks. I'm going to be in a cave, basically.
Exactly. That's the order of the day. We're saving the world by hermitage.
Yeah. You picked up any new TV shows or movies?
I recently went back and watched through all of Community again for the first time in like 5 years.
I really need to pick this up because I've been getting a lot of recommendations to watch this show. And I watched a bunch of NBC shows, you know, 30 Rock, The Office and stuff, and Parks and Rec, obviously. I have not watched Community yet, and I've heard a lot of great things.
It is excellent. I have very mixed feelings about Dan Harmon, the guy who created it and who is the co-creator of Rick and Morty. But I have pretty solid feelings about that show, other than the one season that he was fired for in the middle of the series. Excellent show. I highly recommend it to everyone who likes comedies. It's super weird and oftentimes very meta and like kind of up its own butt a little bit, but in a way that I think is a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to it. So, did you watch Tiger King?
I didn't watch Tiger King. I only know of Joe Exotic from when he was running for office like 5 years ago or whatever.
So I just want to talk about this documentary just for a second. And then we can talk about the Rockets and we can talk about the subject of this podcast. Because
I'm ready. I'm ready to talk about Tiger King. Hit me.
Okay. So I had seen this in my recommendation box for a couple of days for Netflix, and I just kind of ignored it. And then it started blowing up on social media, and you started seeing Joe Exotic everywhere, just like everywhere. And you started hearing, you know, about Tiger. It started trending on Twitter, and obviously everybody's on Twitter right now because there's nothing to do. I think they're having probably the highest activity they've ever had on their app. But yeah, everybody's talking about this documentary. It's blowing up. I'm like, you know what? And I started getting recommendations to go watch it. My friends are trying to talk about it. I'm like, you know what? I'll give it a try. So I start watching it, and I get engrossed, but I don't like it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a real it seems like a real train wreck of a show based on some real train wrecks of people.
It is fascinating. Just the characters. To me, like watching it, in the beginning, you start to see, okay, this is the good guy, this is the bad guy. Three episodes in, it becomes pretty clear. There are no redeemable characters in this. Like, everybody's wrong.
Are they really characters, or are they more humans who actually exist?
It's I view them as characters. It's fine. But like, I don't know what that says about me, but whatever. So I'm watching this, and like I see this basically this lifestyle that's been under a rock for under American society for like the past 20 years. No one's been talking about this this part of society, and you know what? I kind of feel happy that we didn't know about this for this long. And after you watch the documentary, like, it's only natural for you to go on a deep dive. And I didn't want to go on that deep dive. You know, like, I didn't want to go on a YouTube rabbit hole looking up stuff about Joe Exotic and, you know, all the people in this documentary. But you couldn't help yourself. It took me a long time to watch, by the way. Like, a lot of people breeze through this thing in, like, a day. And I'm just like, I don't know how you have the willpower to live right now after watching that. Because, like, that documentary is dark. And I don't know how anybody could go through that in one day. But it took me about a week, and it was like, you know how you set aside like half an hour of your day? Okay, I'm going to read like a chapter of this book, right? Like I have to do this. So that's how I viewed this documentary. I viewed it as homework, and I was watching it every single day. And more, I just became disgusted, and I'm like, I'm kind of angry at Netflix for doing this.
for doing this to you, for allowing you to do this to yourself.
I realized that I didn't have to watch it, but I had to watch it. And it's one of those things where, like, you know, we get a documentary like this every few years, but most of the time it's harmless, right? Like, you get like that, you know, what was that McDonald's doc, like Super Size Me? You get a documentary like that every few years, and it's really interesting and actually entertaining and informative. And this was informative in a way that I don't feel was healthy. Like, I don't feel like I can utilize any of the information I gained from watching this documentary.
Yeah, that knowing this has lessened you?
Probably, right? Like, I feel like I took about, you know, I don't want to say I took a year off my life, but I feel like a solid 6 hours are gone, you know?
I definitely have watched, like, shows and movies that have made me, like, a morally worse person afterwards. So I can get it. I get it.
Well, so here's the thing, Forrest. I would actually recommend that you watch this, and I'm going to tell you you're going to hate it. But I recommend you watch it because it's one of those things where, like, you don't want to do this to yourself, but you want to do this to yourself because you have to understand what the hell has been going on for the past. Like, this has been going on since the 80s. Apparently the subculture that I had no idea about, this zookeeping tiger, the big cat cult subculture. It's been a huge thing on the internet, and I didn't know. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like, I think you should watch it.
I feel sorry for those cats.
Yeah, I do. I do. I just leave it at that. I feel sorry for the cats. Like, there's no caveat there. I feel bad for the cats.
I'm happy with Let's Be Kind to Cats. That's my main takeaway in basically every aspect of my life.
Yeah. So Rockets Knicks. So we are doing the Rockets Rewind series, and the game we're doing today is Rockets versus Knicks at Toyota Center, December 31st, 2016. This was a New Year's game. Just a wild game from James Harden. I think we should add some context, shouldn't we, about the MVP race between Harden and Russ at this time.
Yeah, it was. This was the dead heat of the MVP race too. It was kind of right in the middle of the season. You know, this is the end of the, you know, of the 2016 calendar year, and at this point, it was like a total toss up as to who was going to win MVP. Russ had been averaging his triple double, but James Harden had been going absolutely berserk all season as well. This was that year that all of us in Houston were arguing that having two more assists and two fewer rebounds is really just as good as having 10 and 10.
Yeah, and the interesting part of this MVP race is, like, you saw it coming in the summer. Like, you started to see people hype up both of these MVP candidates. There was probably more hype to Russ because Kevin Durant had just left the Thunder, and it was obviously a really controversial free agency decision. And, you know, people were starting to prop Russ up as, you know, he's going to have an insane season. And he did. He had an insane season. And, like, do you want to relitigate how the media got this wrong for, like, 3 minutes here?
I mean, we might as well. We've done it so long that we might as well do it a little bit longer, right?
Yeah. So here's a take that some people may get very angry at me for. But guess what? It's my podcast, so I can say whatever the hell I want. James Harden will end his career as one of the 25 greatest players of all time. To me, that's indisputable at this point, and I've thought that for a while. It's the same way Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, and John Stockton are all considered top 25 guys, even though they haven't won a championship. On numbers and individual accomplishments alone, he will get there. Like, do you agree with that premise?
I think that's true. I guess I am sort of biased, but I am predisposed to think that James Harden is one of the best we've ever seen. He's like no one else we've ever seen, and yeah, I think he's top 25, definitely top 50 at absolute worst.
And it's one of those things where like people may not like it. Like it's not people may not like. People don't like that. Like people don't like that I just said that. Right? There's someone listening to this podcast groaning. Right? That I said that James Harden's a 25 all time player. But it's like so indisputable. You look at right his basketball reference, his Wikipedia, whatever the hell you want to look at to reference his statistics, his individual achievements, and it's so indisputable that it's like it's objectivity at this point. And this idea that Russell Westbrook will end his career with the same amount of MVPs is laughable to me. Because if we're being brutally honest about this, they were never in the same tier of players as each other.
Yeah, I think that's right. And some people were saying this at the time. I mean, right now, obviously, there's no contest. But even at the height of Russ's powers, a few of the smarter folks were like, no, it's pretty obvious which of these guys is actually the better player. Yeah, it's weird that there was a time period when the majority of people covering the NBA really like bought into this, which is not to say anything bad about Russell Westbrook, but yeah, I don't think he's quite in the same tier as James Harden, who's a true all-timer.
You know, I blame this on a couple of things. So obviously, the triple-double thing is a big thing, and like it's one of those things where like. A lot of people fell in love with it. And if he had averaged 9.8, I feel like he would have gotten a lot less votes. And there's also, you know, this has happened in NBA history before. Free agency decisions really f*** up MVP races. And what I'm referencing right now is the 2011 MVP race where LeBron James left Miami. And everybody kind of left Cleveland in 2011 to go to Miami to join Bosh and Wade. And everybody kind of lost their mind for you know 6 months and gave the MVP to Derrick Rose when it was clearly either LeBron or Dwight Howard, but everybody wanted it to be the hometown kid, the guy, you know, like people made it an MVP race about character and a guy with less help, you know, like the same thing happened in this MVP race, but like on steroids, because I don't think so. Obviously, Russ had a great season. Right, like none of us, you and I, are not going to argue that that wasn't true.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a guy winning MVP for while averaging a triple double, and especially in the way he went about that. I have no qualms with that being considered an MVP worthy season.
So, here's why I disagree with that. When you look at the other players on the ballot. That's where the argument falls apart, right? Like if Russell Westbrook existed in a vacuum and that season existed in a vacuum, you're right. It's worthy of an MVP. But Kawhi Leonard and James Harden were having equally awesome years on better teams, both of them. And I feel like both of those guys had better cases for the MVP award. And if it went to Kawhi, I would not be as upset about it. I really wouldn't. Like if Kawhi got the MVP that year, the Spurs won like 60-something games. Right, and I have a high priority on winning when it comes to this MVP race. Like I defend that Steph 2015 MVP, the one that he won over Harden. I'll defend that to this day. Like I think the voters got it right, and this is one where I'm just like I will argue with it till I die. The voters got it wrong. Like and we have a lot of people. Who believe this? It's not just like it's a real flashbulb moment for NBA history where like it's so polarizing. You have clear and divisive camps, and I feel like the vast majority of the voter pool got it wrong here, and most of them were in the wrong camp.
Yeah, and if you ask me, the smarter NBA minds at the time were saying, well, don't get carried away with round numbers. It probably actually is James Harden. And it's on the other hand, I feel like we have been kind of vindicated in the fullness of history, right? Like, Russell Westbrook kept averaging triple doubles and didn't even sniff an MVP afterwards. And kind of the long-term ramifications of it is that the triple double as an institution has taken pretty serious damage, I think, in the eyes of NBA followers, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, I feel kind of dirty writing out triple double, right? Like, it feels wrong to write it now, and it is a significant stat because it's a pretty big sign that you're productive for an NBA game in a significant way.
Yeah, but yet somehow.
I think we got carried away in overvaluing it for a season.
Yeah.
And that's damaged, as you said, the triple-double as an institution. Like, we talked a lot about Oscar Robertson being the only person to ever win an MVP, not to ever win an MVP, but to ever average a triple-double. And all throughout that season, I was just screaming, but Oscar didn't win the MVP that season. Like, he did not win the MVP the year he won the triple, he averaged the triple-double. So this idea that you have to give it to someone because he averaged a triple-double, or a quote-unquote because it hadn't been done before, right? And then the next season, Russ averages another triple-double, and the Thunder go on to win another mediocre 47 games, right? And they added Paul George, right? Like, and it just kind of put to heart this idea that this was wrong. It was the wrong choice. And there are people that will stick up to this to this day because, you know, when in doubt, double down, right? Like, that's the mantra, right? When you're wrong and you know you're wrong, double down on that, right? But it's like, people talked about this Oklahoma City Thunder like it was absolute trash, right? Steven Adams, Victor Oladipo, Domantas Sabonis. And I'm just like, these are all talented players. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, people are talking about Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon as if they were, you know, Kareem and Kobe, right? Like they were propping them up as these elite teammates that Harden had, and that this team was so perfectly fit around Harden that it was somehow a demerit against him. You know, it's very frustrating talking about it even to this day. With currently no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, they're bringing Vegas to you. Missing the NFL? No problem. BetOnline has live, daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can bet on. You can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even Nathan's hot dog eating contest. All open 24 hours a day and all online. Use promo code BLUEWIRE, all caps, all one word, to join today and receive your new welcome bonus. Bet online, your online wagering solution.
It was really weird, and like I get why it happened. And here's my take, honestly, which is just that the MVP is at its core a narrative based award, which is to say, whoever's doing the coolest stuff that season tends to get it, right? Whoever's like out there kicking the most ass, basically, and like burning down all the, you know, the burning down the league and getting everyone excited is usually going to win MVP. And that tends to be the best player on the best team in most situations, but not always. And sometimes it just happens that a guy averages a triple double on a 47 win team.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, like, we should learn from this and make sure it never happens again. But it's going to happen again in, like, 10 years. Like, we're going to get the MVP wrong and get another 10 years. It's going to make me mad then, just like it made me mad in 2016. It also doubled down on this idea that, man, people really, really don't like Harden, right? Like, and I bring this up all the time on the podcast, but it's true, man. People just liked Russ better than Harden at that point in time. Like, it was like, it was so obvious. People really and people talked about how they liked Russ more than Harden. Like, oh, he's more fun to watch. Oh, he's exciting. And Harden's just really, really boring. Oh, he flops. Or he, you know, the system is catered around him, right? Like, all these dumb superlatives that were talked about were, you know, it was maxed. It was, like, to the max that season.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird to see the knee-jerk reaction that Houston fans had about how, oh, everyone just hates our guy, which, you know, I'm willing to admit that, you know, we sometimes get possessive of our guy. But it turns out that, yeah, people do just kind of not like watching James Harden. And that whole narrative just kind of ran away. And this is when it was really starting, when the James Harden sucks to watch, like, became a truism in the NBA while he was doing incredible stuff like he did in New York on that day.
Not in New York, in Houston.
To New York.
Right. So let's talk about this game. We had to add the backdrop. So these guys were doing crazy things on a night-to-night basis. It was back and forth. It was a back-and-forth stat battle. And just for some context, Harden, before this game, so this was a back-to-back. I think a lot of people forget that. Like, the Rockets had played a back-to-back the game prior against the Clippers, and Harden had, let me read, where did I put this? He had 30 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists, 5 steals, and 2 blocks the night before, against the Clippers. And for some context, obviously, like, so Chris Paul was obviously not a Rocket at this point. It was just Harden and really good role players. Clint Capella was injured for this game. Patrick Beverley was injured. The starting lineup, Harden, Corey Brewer, Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson, and Montrezl Harrell. And this was not the Montrezl Harrell you see today. This was still a good Montrezl Harrell. It was not what you see in the Clippers today. This was baby Montrezl Harrell. And this was Corey Brewer, like, at his most infuriating to watch.
Yeah, so this was ran out of talent, Corey Brewer.
Yeah. Yeah. This was Corey Brewer. Coaches love me, but I'm not actually that good, Corey Brewer.
Whom I will always love and have great affection and respect for, but yes.
No, I mean, let's talk about this game. So the Rockets start this game down 23-13. And it's one of those things where, like, they're playing from behind the entire time. And Harden's just doing everything he can. Like, this is one of my favorite Harden abilities. And one of the things that gets underrated, like, he will do everything he can for his team to get them to victory. And, you know, some people may view that as damaging long term, but in the short term, it leads to lots and lots and lots of wins. And this is one of those things where, like, he did everything for the Rockets. I'm not going to read a stat line. We're going to end that. We're going to do that later. But he was making a bunch of step back threes. He was dishing out a bunch of passes. Ryan Anderson, good game. Do you want to know his stats?
I would love to know his stats.
One of his better games as a Houston Rocket, I would say. Ryan Anderson, 25 points. 4 of 8 from three-point range, 8 of 12 from the field. And by the way, this was Ryan Anderson, terrible in the Toyota Center, Ryan Anderson. This was back when he could not... I don't know what it was, something about the color red, he could not hit a shot to save his life at home. And this was one of those rare games where he actually hit everything, and Houston needed every bit of it.
Well, yeah, they did. Because this was, yeah, they were like about even with the Knicks at halftime. It was an actual game, which you don't usually... You don't always see actual games where guys go off the way that James Harden did, but yeah, it took like Ryan Anderson having that kind of a night and getting excellent passes from James Harden, a lot of excellent passes from James Harden for this to happen.
Some of these passes, by the way, behind the back, through defenders' legs, like, you know, half court, through the court, right? Like, it was like really, really spectacular passes that Harden was dishing out to shooters. And this Knicks team at the time, it was bad, but they hadn't hit their stride as a truly embarrassing team yet. Like, they were 16-16, so 500 record going into this game. Brandon Jennings and Joakim Noah, like, randomly turned back the clock and had awesome games. I'm going to read Brandon Jennings' stats for this game. 32 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. He was 3 of 8 from 3-point range, 12 of 22 from the field. Randomly went off on the Rockets.
Sure, why not?
Right, and this is 2016 Brandon Jennings, not 2012 Brandon Jennings. I just want to remind people.
So weird. Yeah, this was a game where the Knicks were not terrible yet. This was so all right. Here's a little perspective of where I was at that time. I actually remember this night because I had gone over to a friend's house to watch the game because, as we said before, it was New Year's Eve. And this was the game that was on before, you know, we all go outside and go to parties and do all the things you do on New Year's Eve. So we were all kind of meeting up here to watch this basically random Rockets game against a random opponent, pretty much. And what began as just another game pretty quickly turned into all of us freaking out about just what was happening here. Like, it went from being something we were watching to pass the time to us basically like breaking out the alcohol ahead of time and just laying in and partying with James Harden as he just completely obliterated the Knicks in one of the wildest performances I have ever seen in my life. Like, I do not remember the parties I went to afterwards. I remember this game.
No, and it was wild to see the reaction on Twitter because nobody gave a crap about this game. And then once you started to see Harden's stat lines add up by the third quarter, it was like, what does Harden have? Excuse me? And people started turning to this game and watching it. And like by the end of the game, like, so I'm gonna read Harden's final stat line for this game.
Here we go.
53 points, 17 assists, 17 assists. 16 rebounds. James Harden, 6'5", by the way. I just want to remind people here. He's 6'5", 16 rebounds. And he's getting these rebounds over not small people. We're talking like Joakim Noah and, you know, Carmelo Anthony. You know, like some guys with significant size. 14 of 26 from the field. 9 of 16 from three-point range. 16 of 18 from the free throw line. To me, the most staggering stat is that he got to the free throw line 18 times and still shot as much as he did in this game.
Unbelievable. Yeah, watching this happen was like, it was like watching a roller coaster that never like crested the hill, I guess. Like, I kept waiting for him to stop exploding. Like, I was wondering, okay, he can't keep doing this forever. He's not going to just keep like, he's not going to keep this lineup for the entire game, but he just kept going. He just kept going. How did he do it? Like, every time we would turn around, he was hitting another three or he was grabbing another rebound. Like, he was a one man wrecking ball that beat pretty convincingly a Knicks team that was actually giving the Rockets a run for their money. Like, he completely took over this not notable game and made it notable for one reason only, which is James Harden.
So I actually found the tweet I had for this game. I tweeted an image of the box score, and it was the caption I had was, "What kind of prank is this?" Because it was just wild, man. Like, what kind of box score is this? Like, this doesn't exist. Like, 53 points, 17 assists, 16 rebounds, and it's like this might be his best box score as a Rocket ever. And at the same time, I don't even feel like it's his best game as a Rocket ever. Like, this was just a random game where he exploded on all levels. And the team really needed it because, again, they were playing from behind. They managed to get a 17-point lead, but they kind of blew it by the time the fourth quarter came around. And then Harden had to get them back into it and keep shooting them out and win this game. They ended up winning this game by like 10. Let me see the final score. They won the game 129-122. And Harden's stat line was like one of those no bullshit stat lines in that they actually needed everything that he got. There was no stat hunting in this game.
Yeah, I mean they were up by like 17. Bigger than that earlier on. Yeah. Yeah, they were up by 17 at one point, but yeah, it never became just like a total blowout as you might think, given what James Harden was doing. They did in fact need it. Well, and here's the other thing that I remember from this night too, which is that Twitter flipped out over this, obviously, because this is exactly the kind of thing that Twitter can and should flip out over.
This felt like the peak of his MVP on Twitter.
Exactly. Yeah. This after this game, a lot of the people who have votes for the MVP were saying, well, for the time being, this looks like things are swinging back James Harden's direction, right? Like at this moment, James Harden actually probably had like a leg up on Russell Westbrook for the MVP after that night. That's the kind of performance this was that people were like, "Ooh, Russ better do something about this."
Right. If the season ended in 2016, that's it. That's Harden's award.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would have been his award. Like, this was a truly impressive showing that this was the New Year's Eve game too. Like, New Year's Eve games they're not just, you know, one of many on the schedule, generally speaking. This is a game that people are watching. This is one that people were paying attention to.
Yeah. And Harden played 42 minutes, and this is just a regulation game on the second night of a back to back. And he was playing without Patrick Beverley and Clint Capella. That's what, to me, like, the endurance part of this is also what makes this really impressive. It's like, this is a back-to-back where he also had another triple-double, and it was against a really good Clippers team. And, you know, he's playing the Knicks, which, you know, the Knicks aren't really that good, but he's playing without all these teammates, and he had to play this many heavy minutes. And he pulled out this stat line. He was actually efficient for the entire game. Like that, like normally when you play a back to back and you play 42 minutes, you're expecting that second night to be, you know, significantly less efficient. And he managed to be just as efficient the second night.
Yeah. Sometimes James Harden can bring it. And by sometimes, I mean a hell of a lot of the time.
It's his most impressive ability, I would say.
Yeah, he can just, like, no matter how tired he is or what's happening, he can just completely blow you away any given night. It is incredible. You never know any given game, like, what level of supernova you're going to get. There's absolutely no possible way to predict it. And it's really exciting to me to randomly see him go off for a 53-point triple-double out of nowhere. Like, that's part of why I think he is one of the all-time greats. Like, there is no one who can stop him. It seems like he's like a hurricane. It will end when it wants to and not when you tell it to.
Right, the only person that can stop James Harden is James Harden, right? Like that's it. Like, you know, he'll have bad games, and, you know, we've made a lot of his, you know, shortcomings in the playoffs, but, like, it's not because teams are defending him, like, great. It's because, you know, he just had a bad game.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what the opposing defense does. It just is, it's something else. If I knew how to tell what it was that was making James Harden have a good or bad game, I would be a much richer man than I currently am, because
it's
as
so
far
random,
as I can tell,
right?
It's, yeah.
It's never like, okay, like, the Rockets are playing the Warriors on national TV. Harden hates the Warriors. He's about to go off. No. Like, oftentimes, it's never that. It's like when you least expect it. Like, it's like a random game. Like, when you start to underestimate James Harden, he'll pull out a performance like that. And we're going to talk about one of those performances later on in the Rockets Rewind series. Like, I'm kind of hinting at that Warriors game where he played with Austin Rivers as the second best ball handler against a healthy Warriors team and won. That to me is another example of, like, the when you least expect it, he's going to put the team on his back, like, in his backpack, and pull out an incredible win. But yeah, this was definitely one of them. This is in his basketball highlight reel. Like, this is one of those games you're going to see on NBA TV in like 10 years.
Yeah, I honestly wouldn't mind seeing this game on NBA TV right now, but I know they don't tend to do that for games that are just a few years old.
it might show up on NBA TV right now. NBA TV, spoiler alert, they need some content. they are pulling out all this. Some of these old games, by the way, are really fun to watch. I just watched, and I know we're getting off track from this game, but I feel like we've talked enough about it. But last night I just watched Mavs Heat in the 2011 Finals. Awesome series. Dirk, real much better passer than I remember him to be in that series. Like from the high block, some of these passes he's making to the guys like Tyson Chandler or like a cutting Sean Marion or Jason Kidd. Really, really impressive. I know it's really off topic, but I just wanted to mention it because we're talking about NBA TV.
Yeah, I'm talking about that series. I'm really glad that he got that championship there, not just because he deserved it, but because we deserved not to be stupid about Dirk Nowitzki anymore. He was weirdly like not respected before that championship. I know it's easy to forget that given it was like 9 years ago and nowadays everyone just sees Dirk as one of the greats, but there was a time when he was considered soft and he didn't have what it takes to make it all the way to the championship, so on and so forth.
And heavily disliked.
Yeah. I don't know why either. Why? He's such a good dude.
It's very similar to kind of tie it back to Harden right now. What Dirk was when he was in his early 30s, like people were talking about him like with such great disrespect, and it was really infuriating. And I started this podcast talking about Harden and how I believe he's one of the 25 greatest players of all time. Like, I believed Dirk was that before he won that title, right? I think we need to be smarter about the way we talk about players. And I know championships are a big part of the picture, but they're not everything. Like, we need to really appreciate these performances. Part of the reason I'm doing this Rockets Rewind series, obviously a big part of it is there's really nothing else to talk about. But another reason is we really need to appreciate how ridiculous this man is as a basketball player. A lot of the games I have featured on this list are just Harden. Like that, like 80% of the reason it's on there, it's because Harden's there and doing something ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't ever seen anybody like him on this team. We've seen other great players who are great in different ways, but we've never seen anyone like Harden because no one's ever seen anyone like Harden. He's a singular and bizarre talent, and I think he's deeply compelling, whether he's going off for the 50-point triple-double or just doing some weird, unguardable stuff like step-back threes that infuriate everybody around him. James Harden is rare and precious, and we need to appreciate him while we have him. That's my thesis statement.
It's a good one. It's a good one. Forrest, do you have anything to plug before we head out?
I have another podcast I do where I talk about Final Fantasy. If y'all want to listen to video game talk, it's called Crystal Catalog. Look that up. Other than that, I'm just trying to live life. I'm just trying to survive.
I don't really have much to plug either. We're going to continue this podcast series, obviously. We're going to keep it rolling. Just wrote a State of the Rockets if the season continued. We talked about assuming the season restarts, the position the Rockets are in, and how it's kind of an awkward stopping point they had for their season. They're like a sixth seed right now. They lost four of the last five games, and I talked about that in depth in that. So go ahead and check that out. Wrote about Yao Ming, which was really fun for me. I wrote about Yao Ming a couple weeks ago. You guys can go check that out. And yeah, stay tuned to this podcast. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Follow me on Twitter at SalmaliNBA. Follow Forrest on Twitter at DoNots. And yeah, guys, good night.